It's time now for Cuz Radio.
What up, Cuz?
Deshaun Jackson gets a block. Are you kidding?
Talking with the Cuz.
Go, Cuz. How you doing?
Stairs rips one into the night.
Stolen by the doctor. Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slammed up.
Look, Cuz, don't even try it, okay?
Now here's Anthony Gargano.
Why don't you get the hell out of here, Cuz?
Everybody, happy Thursday night, Flyers night, right here, Cuz's Corner. We are live from, yes, the fabulous Parks Casino Street Road, Ben Salem. And don't forget, we will have all the picks. We'll go over the card, begin to look at the Super Bowl. We'll give you all the NHL, NBA breakdown, some college basketball. Kind of get you ready with a little mishmash of everything with our man Brad Feinberg. And, of course, you can download the Parks Sportsbook app by going to parkscasino.com/PA. Download the app. Use the promo code Fanatic and get a risk-free bet up to $500. You got to be 21 in Pennsylvania. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. All right, so we're going to start with, before we get to Brad and all the picks tonight and some Flyers, but the talk of the day, obviously, Sixers and Sixers basketball. And, you know, it's so funny because I heard Tyrone say this during with Mike earlier today, that we almost, because of the Eagles' disappointment, we put so much pressure on Sixers, right? And Sixers doing well because they won a tough game last night. Like, that was a great game. And I noticed the sea change in the 1 o'clock hour because we had legs on. And as always, Tim Legler is terrific when it comes to breakdown. But we get into the Ben Simmons. How are they as a closing team, right? And we immediately, and I saw the sea change. It was crazy. Like, you saw for the first 3 hours, people were excited. They were talking about the win. Magic Johnson had tweeted last night that what a great basketball game. It was the most entertaining NBA game of the season. Might these two teams meet in the finals? So there was a lot of talk. I mean, you know, let's face it. They controlled the whole game for 44 and a half minutes. They were in control. And then there was that weird kind of run where Caruso gets hot, hit a three, had a driving basket, and then they get another three, and then they get a quick basket from Anthony Davis. And boom, all of a sudden you look up, and it's a one-point game, and then they have the lead, and all of a sudden it kind of like snuck up on you. But make no mistake, like, you know, that's the LeBron James Lakers. These are the champs. And, you know, they go at it. I thought it was a great game. It was a fun game last night. And we wound up talking for the last hour of the show. Do they have enough down the stretch to ward off a run like that? Do they have enough at the end of games to close, right? Like, so when they collapse on Joel Embiid, you know, what's next? Now, last night it was Tobias, so, you know, you didn't need that. But it's amazing because it becomes a referendum on Ben Simmons. And you know, amazingly enough, again, Ben played well last night. And this is a question that I want to ask you. And hopefully, I know Brad's coming up, but if you could sneak in a couple calls, I'd love to do that. It's 610-632-0975. But it's this mentality that because Simmons isn't a real threat with the basketball at the end of the game, that you can't win with him. And I want to make the argument that, well, look at the bulk of the game. Like, if the guy's getting you a triple-double, and let's face it, I know he's not giving you the Doncic, the Luka triple-double, but he's still giving you a triple-double, all right? And he's always buzzing around triple-double numbers. So as long as he's giving you that, then like that helps you win. That's not even counting the defense that he plays. So yeah, like I get it. I understand what you're talking about the end of the game. But like, you don't get to the end of the game with the lead or in the game if he's not giving you close to a triple-double. Right? I mean, it just goes, it stands to shit. Now, again, you know, could they lose to Brooklyn? Yeah, you know. I mean, now we talked to Legs, and Legs brought up the fact that, you know, Brooklyn is its own issues. They have their own problems. And that James Harden isn't sharing the basketball. Now, what does that say? James Harden's not sharing the ball. All of a sudden, how long till Kyrie goes off the cuckoo's nest? And KD finally says something. So, that's, I mean, my only point is that's their, they have their own issues, too. I just think we could go completely overboard with the seventh thing. Let's go to Jordan. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Jordan. Good evening, my brother.
What's going on, man?
How you doing, buddy?
All right, man. I just had to chime in. I was driving last night. I'm the NJ betting guru, and I had big, the Sixers big. And Simmons was driving me crazy from the start. And then you see his stat line at the end of the game and hear people say, oh, you had a good game. But the thing
driving
is...
driving crazy. I mean, he scored six straight to start the game.
Yeah, but he was... The plays that he... So there was two lobs, right? Two passes that Embiid made. One went straight through his hands, and then there was another one when they were on a break.
Dude.
And he threw it a little bit behind him, and he missed it, right? So if he's a star player, those are the plays when he's not shooting an outside shot. Those are the plays that he's supposed to make. If
you don't,
you
don't think that's nitpicking, brother?
No, I do not, because those were vital plays, and then down the stretch, he did the same thing.
You didn't
and
do it almost seems like he's... Now, down the stretch, he's not... He didn't do that down the stretch. He's, but he wasn't active down the stretch. Well, that's different than what you said, which is the nitpick thing.
So there was one point, right, and I don't know if you remember this, towards the end of the game where he had the ball down low. He ended up taking it all the way almost back to half court to gain momentum and then drive at full speed because that's all he has in his arsenal and then bricks the shot. It was the same thing. He just does the same thing, and he's so guardable by good teams over and over again.
Listen,
that's why
again, I'm not arguing that he's not a, you know, that he's not an issue sometimes offensively. But you can't tell me with a straight face that he didn't play well last night.
He played well for Ben. But that's the problem is he's
feeling
to give him credit now. You know,
he played a good game. Like, I don't know what you want.
I just don't see him as a piece.
I know you. Listen, I love you too, Jordan. I hear you, buddy. Listen,
I
have a
to
good
go visit you at the Borgata back in the day. The poker
player. Yes. How you been, man? Yes.
Good, man. I'm very successful as a betting guru now on Instagram. That's what I do now.
That's not a surprise.
I have 228 grand riding on the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl right now.
Wow.
Yeah, go, it was a go, big bet.
Go Chiefs, man.
Yes, sir.
Go Chiefs.
Well, love the show. Love the tunas, too.
That's fantastic. Well, chime in with us and let us know your picks. We love that.
I talk to him on Twitter sometimes.
You
all
got
right,
it,
man.
Pal.
Have a good night.
See you, buddy.
All right.
That's hysterical. We're insane, though. We're insane with Ben. Let's go to Dane. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Dane.
Yo, cuz.
What's up, Dane?
Nothing, man. It's good to hear you at night. I'm usually working during the day, so I can't call in.
Nice to talk to you, my brother.
I just wanted to call in, man. All this Ben hate. I'm so against it, man. I want to squash some things right here. First of all, Bradley Beal is a great player. Don't get me wrong. But does Bradley Beal handle the basketball well? Does he playmate well? Does he defend well? I mean, I think a lot of people don't look at the fact that Ben does these things and only focus on what he does not do. Here's an example. Bradley Beal, in fourth quarters this season, has only a 44% true shooting percentage, which is actually awful. He's actually really bad at closing games. So if everyone is looking for a closer...
All right, so I think you're picking the wrong argument, though, brother. Bradley Beal's a hell of a scorer, right? He plays on a bad team.
He gets
you can't quote stats about end of game games when you're playing on a bad team like that. You know what I'm saying?
I get it. I mean, he probably gets double teamed at the end of games. But triple at the same time, like Joel does. But, and I wouldn't, look, I'm not saying he wouldn't be an amazing pairing with Joel Embiid. But I also look at this. Is he really any better than Kyrie, KD, or Harden? Well, I would say that all those guys are better.
Yeah, but I don't think this is like a Ben versus Bradley Beal deal. Like, listen, I got to be real with you.
I think a lot of guys are making it into that, though.
Right, but first of all, until he's actually really up for trade, I mean, it's stupid to keep talking about it, right?
Like, yeah, I know.
Now, I would tell you, as a Benenon member, I would trade him for Bradley Beal. I would. I would go get a point guard because he's not a point guard.
I think you would need to have a point guard at that point because Bradley Beal is not, he's not really a point guard. He's a shooting guard. I mean, John Wall was always the point guard on that team. So,
Ben's your only ball handler right now.
Exactly. You'd be losing out on defense and on ball handling just to bring in more scoring, which is fine, but you're kind of cutting off your nose to spite your face a little bit.
Listen. I like you, so I don't want to just placate you because I like you, right? Like I respect you, so I respect you. I just don't want to say yeah, I agree because I don't. I would trade him for Bradley Beal, and I would go get a point guard, and you know that's that. But I'm skeptical whether you could get Bradley Beal, and to your point, you know I don't know that you can count on at this point. That sort of thing. So, you know what I mean? Like, I got to keep it real. If I get Bradley Beal, I'm making a trade. I'm going to go get a point guard. So, you know, but Bradley Beal's got to be available. We hear he's available, but there's no movement. I've been hearing it for 2 years. You know, we talked about it with Legs earlier. Would the Wizards actually move him to the Sixers? Yeah. Dave in Marlton, you're on 97.5, the Fanatic. Dave.
Anthony, how are you?
What's up, Davey?
Man, I love this team's makeup, man. I'm Sixers through and through. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
They had the heart last night. And, you know, when they started not playing right, Doc called timeout and said, "What are you guys doing?"
You could read his lips when he said it.
Yeah. So here's the thing. I think Embiid, is this Embiid's sixth year or fifth?
This is his, well, you remember he was hurt for the better part of the 2 years. Yeah.
So, and Ben's 1 year behind him.
He was hurt his first year too, right?
Yeah, So maybe Ben kind of gets it after this year. You know what I mean? As Ben,
right? I hear you because you're thinking, well, at some point, does he mature?
Yeah.
And I, you know, I thought the same thing. You know, I don't know. I mean, the problem is, deep down, is he the type of guy that wakes up with an epiphany and says, "I got to be great. Like, I got to unlock this part of my game." And you and I, this is the crux of the Benenon, right? Like, we pray and hope and go that he wakes up. But, you know, he could never wake up and say, "What do you mean? I'm an all-star. What do you want from me? It's just not my game." That's the conundrum that we're in.
Yeah, but then you got Doc Rivers, man. Say, "Come on, young man.
Yeah.
Let's go.
I would like to see Doc, like, you know, to me, I just want to see it under a full year of Doc. I kind of agree with you.
Yeah, I don't want to lose him. You know?
Listen, Anthony, what he does well.
You give so much joy during the day listening to you.
Ah, my brother, thank you, man. I appreciate
thank you,
that, baby.
Everything.
Thank you, man. Dave. Have a great day. Be careful. Watch yourself, brother. Take it easy. No, it's fun. Just talking to Mikey. Mikey was just texting. You know, They're an interesting team. And the poll process and buzzing around and being so close, you just feel like we remember when they got Simmons. I mean, I thought he was going to be the next. I thought he was LeBron. I thought he was going to become LeBron. You know, that he would be, it would take him 2 years to become a really good offensive player. He'd have to develop the shot. But I got suckered. And I thought he would become in that vein. Because remember, when LeBron comes in, he's, you know, immensely more talented offensively, but he didn't have the shot. He was such a unique talent. But I thought that Simmons was in that mold. That's what I thought. So I understand why people are down. Trust me. Because I'm disappointed from that standpoint, too. I just do think that we shortchange some of the things he does. Yeah, you know, that's kind of it. All right, sit tight, everybody. We're going to take a quick TO. We'll come back with your calls. And we got Brad Feinberg to go over a little Super Bowl and some of the early talk. And I'll give you a little NHL NBA picks for tonight and the weekend. It's Cuz's Corner. We're live. Parks Casino Street Road, Ben Salem. Make sure you down the Parks. Download that Parks Sportsbook app right to your phone. Boom. And you're hooked up. Got to go to parkscasino.com/PA. Use the promo code Fanatic. And you are in. You get a risk-free bet for $500. Website is all the details. Got to be a Pennsylvania gambling problem. Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, welcome back. Everybody sit tight. It's Cuz's Corner from Parks Casino Street Road, Ben Salem, the 444 Casino and Sportsbook. Don't forget Flyers hockey coming your way in 20 minutes. We'll go for the pregame show and then live back up to Jersey for the rematch. Flyers, Devils, Flyers, the favorite tonight. We'll find out if our man, our betting analyst here at Parks Casino, and of course every week right here on Cuz's Corner, Brad Feinberg joins us on the Comcast Business Hotline. Bounce forward. My man, B. Feinberg. What's up, Bradley?
How are you, Anthony? Yeah, I think the Flyers tonight, pretty pricey. It's about $1.60-ish. Not cheap. That means they got to go, you know, about 5-3 just for you to break even. I think that line's actually a tick high. Didn't play it, but I think it's a little high if you're looking to take Philly.
Really? Okay.
I think they're going to win. 85% of the bets have come in on Philadelphia. They obviously won the other night, 5-3. I think they're going to win, but, you know, they have to go.
Do you bet hockey in a different way? Like, you have a strategy for how you bet hockey?
I used to love. It was probably, out of anything I bet, Anthony, I'd go as far to say it was probably the most profitable thing I did. And you can Google this and look it up. The NHL playoffs, I'd say for the last 15 years, it's crazy. The road team won more games than the home team, or basically as much. And the last couple of years, they did adjust somewhat so. But it used to be, Anthony, you would get a team that was, let's say it was a 4-5 matchup. Okay, four seed against the 5 seed. And the team that was at home would be minus $1.55, and the team that would be on the road would be plus 135, or it would be 160, take 140. And these games were 50-50 games, and you're taking $1.35, $1.40, and there was really no home ice advantage. It really didn't mean anything.
Right.
And I would make a killing taking 35, 40 cents, and I was winning every bit as much as I was losing, just taking the underdog. But the last couple years, those same games, before COVID, I'm talking about, Anthony, they made the lines closer to like $1.35 plus 115, so they took away some of that edge. But, you know, hockey is, it certainly can be a beatable sport, but I think it's a little more difficult now.
Do you, regular season, do you get involved with prop? Like, you're a big props guy. Do you get involved in hockey props at all?
You know,
it's
funny that I stick to areas of expertise which I know I'm really good at. And if I put in the time and dedication, like a lot of the stuff in hockey, Anthony, is like all props, like shots on goal, stuff like that. I only have so much time in the day, and I haven't dedicated myself to that. But I have some friends who have done it, and they've done well. Again, props and, you know, people at Parks do a great job with it. There's so much stuff in props that you can do, Anthony. And to all the listeners out there, I will say, I think that's the easiest way to A, have fun, and B, make money, because the lines aren't quite as efficient in the props. You're more apt to, you know, to find games where you can have a true advantage. You know, I win over 60% of my props. I can tell you right now, I don't win over 60% of the games where I bet, you know, the straight games. No one does. No one in the world does. Not just me. But you can do it in props. So I think if you put in the time, it's a great thing.
That's cool. That's very cool. All right, let's get started. Just some early Super Bowl stuff, and then we'll get back to tonight, and
sure,
we'll take a look at this weekend. But early Super Bowl game itself, you on Chiefs? Like we talked about it.
You love inside information on this one. You know, I look. Last week, Anthony. Last week's two games was a mixed bag. One on Kansas City, lost in Green Bay. Really like Green Bay. Now I'm not. I don't think this is me being a sore sport. I really isn't. But when I look at that game, I like Tom Brady. I went to Michigan, so I always like any Michigan guy. And he's obviously had a great career, great player to go with all that. But Anthony, I really thought not only did he not play great, I thought he played pretty poorly. Three interceptions in the second half. Threw the ball high a few times. I did have a couple drops, in fairness to him, which is unfair to him, which hurt him. But I thought he should have had a fourth interception. When I look at that game, and how they won the game. It's 7-7. He throws that Hail Mary to Godwin where the defender was right there. Should have intercepted it. Godwin kind of boxed him out and instead caught a 60-yard pass. That was 7 points I didn't think they should have had. Devontae Adams drops a touchdown, okay, which cost them 4 points. They had to settle for a field goal. And then, Anthony, at the end of the half, the guy from Green Bay drops an easy interception, and then they throw a 50-yard Hail Mary pass in the last play of the half. You know, and they drop a 2-point conversion. I felt like that was 20 points that Green Bay just gave away to Tampa Bay. And when you have these kind of games, you can't give away 20 points. No, Kansas City gave away 7 to Buffalo last week on the muff punt. But I, Anthony, I see this game a little bit the way I saw the college football championship game between Alabama and Ohio State. And I say that because I expect Kansas City to score, and I see no reason why they would not score virtually every possession, kind of like they did in the first time these teams played. And I think while Tampa Bay will have success on offense, Anthony, I don't think they will have sustained success where they'll be able to score every time. And I think it's going to be hard for this team to keep up with Kansas City. I think the line at 3, in my opinion, is cheap. I don't really give anything for quote-unquote home field advantage here. I don't really think that plays into account. And I think we saw when Kansas City, when the chips are down, Anthony, there's nothing like Patrick Mahomes, and Andy Reid is such a great play caller. I mean, I'm just so impressed every time I watch Kansas City play, the stuff that they do. And so I really do like Kansas City.
It's funny, the wrinkle. He even looks good doing that old shovel pass that he used to run with Deuce Staley all the time. And it somehow looked even cooler with Mahomes doing the on-the-hand pitch.
You're absolutely right. And I just think this is a – I think this team is just a different kind of animal. I think it's just to beat this team. I think you're going to have to get very fortunate, like kind of like how Buffalo had a chance. They got a muff punt. Okay, that was 7 points you got given. If Mahomes throws a ball where it gets tipped, you have to get that interception. It can't be like, oh, he almost had it. To beat this team, you're going to have to capitalize on every opportunity you get a chance to get, and it's not going to be easy to do. And I really don't think Tampa Bay. You know, I haven't been that impressed with them. I know they've been winning. I give them credit. You still have to beat who you play, and they beat the two best teams in the NFC. I give them a lot of credit for that, but I just the way they've done it, I don't know. I feel they've gotten some breaks. Maybe they'll continue to get those breaks, certainly possible, but I really think Kansas City is significantly better.
Yeah, I do, too. I do. Any of the props that have come out?
I've looked at, my friend. Come up with some stuff, and I'll tell you why I like each thing.
We will go through this again next week.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just FYI for everybody.
Everyone out there. Tampa Bay to have more punts than, and these are all parks, Tampa Bay to have more punts than Kansas City -143. Obviously, the logic being, Anthony, I expect Kansas City to win the game. I trust Kansas City's offense significantly more. And I feel very confident that it's going to be a lot harder for that team to punt than for Tampa Bay to punt. And I also did another one of Chiefs under 3.5 punts -148. 5-0 in the playoffs the last 2 years, Anthony. They have not punted once in the playoffs in the last 2 years with Mahomes. They've never punted 4 times. They only went 11-7 during the season, but I just think, again, in the playoffs, it's just this team plays so efficient, so tough. I don't think they're going to punt four times. Tom Brady, touchdowns. I did take over 1.5 touchdowns, minus 215. He went 16-3 this year, Anthony, and he's done it 10 straight times. While I do like Kansas City to win the game, I think Brady will throw two touchdowns again, 16-3. Yeah. He's won 10 straight doing
that.
Yeah,
I think that's a great bet. I mean, first of all, they don't run a lot in the red zone.
Sure.
They could be first down at the 2, and he'll throw it.
Exactly. That's same thing with, and which is great about Kansas City too. If you anyone like Mahomes over, and same thing with Green Bay with Rodgers. These are the three teams I would say, Anthony. When these teams get inside the 3 yard line, they're most apt to pass the ball, and that's a huge thing when you're looking at these props. Is something like that, and yeah, I think Brady. The chance of him only getting 1 or 0 touchdowns is pretty slim. He has to do it a little more than 2/3 of the time. I think he's at least a 75% chance to do it. I think I would have made this number closer to minus 300. I think minus 210, minus 215 is actually a pretty cheap price. I did that one. And I'll give you two quick others, Anthony. Mecole Hardman, his over-under for receiving yards is 26.5. Now, he's gone under this 7 of his last 9 games. Okay. And in addition, Sammy Watkins is supposed to be back, which is going to limit his snap count. I'm going to take under 26.5. His season average was above that because earlier in the year he had some bigger games. But lately, again, 7 of 9 under. I see Sammy Watkins coming back. He's a big play guy. He can clearly get it on 150-yard bomb. I get that. But I think that that's at least a 60% winning bet. And last but not least.
Now, hang on one sec. Now, I always agree with you. The only thing I worry about with that bet is Hardman is a speed guy who can get loose.
No question.
And you saw his targets go up toward the end of the year. Now, you're right about Sammy Watkins, but you got to watch that Andy doesn't have a couple plays in for him.
Well, he also could run the ball, too, which wouldn't hurt us. But
right.
Hardman, I did preface it. He is a big play guy. You're absolutely right. And it's kind of like, and the last couple weeks we've had the over in Marquez Valdes-Scantling, which one can he? Because he's a big play guy. And boom, he caught right. We won the over last week, over 29 yards. He caught that big touchdown. But again, when I look at again, he's gone 16, 23, 15, 40. That was a winner. 22, right. 24, 25, 58, then 4. And those were all without
Sammy,
Watkins.
Yeah.
I think with Watkins playing, and remember last year's Super Bowl, Watkins had the biggest game in the entire team.
Yeah,
Even though he's certainly been a free agent, I don't want to call him a bust, but certainly hasn't been worth the money. Let's leave it at that. I just don't know if, again, I think it's a bet that, in my opinion, is going to win. And I do understand what you're saying in terms of he obviously has the chance to do it on one play. And then I like Mahomes over 324.5. Now, Anthony, he's only gone over that 8 of 17 times, so you may say, Brad, why are you playing a 50-50 one? But to me, one of those was against the Browns where he left injured or he would have gone over. And look who they're playing. They're playing Tampa Bay, and you cannot run the ball in Tampa Bay.
No.
They're number one in the league against the run. So this is going to be a fun, basically, if Mahomes was 50-50 doing it all year, now he's facing a team where they're going to pass, because you can't run on them. You absolutely can't run on them. I was also looking at Darrell Williams potentially under 9.5 rush attempts because Edwards-Helaire is back. Didn't have a great first game, obviously, but I'm not so sure that Williams, will get 10 carries in a game where it's really hard to run against this team. And I think Edwards-Helaire could get some of those carries as well. Now, he has gone over 3 straight games. He's gone 10, 13, 13. 2 of those games without Edwards-Helaire. But I do like Mahomes over in passing yards, Anthony, for the reasons I said. I think Tampa Bay's just so good against the run, and I think Mahomes should have a tremendous game.
Yeah, I like that, too. I could see him having a monster, and you're right. You're not going to be able to run on that team. That team is too good.
Especially with Vita Bayback.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I actually am a little bit worried about the pressure that Mahomes is going to feel.
They lost their tackle, Fisher, so, I mean, that's certainly, look, I will say this, and I have to be, again, I have to be objective. I didn't know losing David Bakari, their tackle, how badly that was going to hurt Aaron Rodgers and company, and JPP and Shaq Barrett really, really dominated Aaron Rodgers. And again, I don't care who you are, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, if you get pressured, I don't care who you are, it's going to make you a significantly worse player. And we saw Rodgers was significantly hampered because the Tampa Bay defense really did a good job, and they beat up on a bad Billy Turner couldn't block. They beat up on a bad offensive line. Green Bay now will. The offensive line for Kansas City, you know, already down Mitchell Schwartz before this, will they be, was Newski and ex-Eagle, you know, they have been there, but will they be able to withstand the fierce pass rush of Tampa Bay? With a somewhat limited Mahomes with his mobility, it's a fair point.
You know, it's interesting because I'm with you. You wonder, do you see any value in some of the alternate spreads?
Well, you know,
at least take a shot, right?
I was wrong on it last week, but I would have been right with Kansas City against Buffalo. Yeah, I personally, and again, it's just my opinion, and you know, it certainly can be wrong, but I think Kansas City is significantly better. I think they're going to win this game somewhat easily. Again, I think they will win this game by double digits. And yeah, you can take, you know, I don't mind taking laying -12.5, -13, getting 3.5, 4-1 odds somewhere in that vicinity. You know, I think there's certainly at least a 25% chance that Kansas City wins this game by margin. Okay, because they certainly, I think what Kansas City has shown Anthony this year is whoever they play, they win. Right? They were basically they're 16-1. Okay, they lost one game to the Raiders. But they play up to the competition. Like, when they play, like, worse teams, you know, sometimes they don't turn on the Jets. But we saw last week against a really good Buffalo team. That score was way, it was 38-24, Anthony, but let's look at that game. It was really, they got a gift touchdown on the punt. They let them score at the end. They recovered an onside kick at the end. That really was like a 38-7 game, masquerading as 38-24.
Yeah.
I think, again, I would really look at anything Kansas City, in my opinion, because no one has stopped this team all year. And, though, the one thing I will say was interesting, you remember the first time these teams played?
I do.
And it was
I remember watching it. Was it the Sunday night game?
No, it was an afternoon game, but it was the Tyreek Hill game. Tyreek Hill had, like, remember, I think he had, like, 200 and, like, I think he had, like, 210 yards in the first quarter, and he finished with 269. But it was a game where it was 17-0 Chiefs, and if you just watched that game, I swear you would have thought the Chiefs won by 50 points. But somehow the game ended because they got outscored 14-0 in the fourth quarter. It ended 27-24, where actually they got a miraculous cover, Tampa Bay. But I really felt like Kansas City really, really, really whipped them in that game. Mm-hmm. And I just don't know if any team, Anthony, this is nothing against Tampa Bay. I just don't know if any team has the defensive capabilities to stick with this team. And then you say, okay, you're going to have to basically score every single time to match this team, because this team doesn't punt.
No.
This is the team that doesn't punt.
You know, it's funny. I heard somebody say it, so I don't want to steal it, but I thought they were right on. It's like when you look at this team, you feel like, listen, this team's too good. They remind you of Alabama in the sense that
sure.
It doesn't matter. That's why I love you and I both loved Alabama against Ohio State.
Exactly, because you knew they weren't going to punt.
Yeah.
And again, now the one thing that you said, Anthony, which was a really good point by you, is will losing the tackle, will the offensive line, and listen, Mahomes, I'm sure he's not 100%. I'm sure we're going to see one of these things after the fact, because you know last year when he was running great, right? Now you could see he's still somewhat effective, but you could see he's not at full strength running with his mobility. And I wouldn't be surprised if we saw something where at the end of the year he goes in for some kind of, you know, toe surgery or foot, whatever his injury is, the exact extent. And I could certainly see that. And if he's somewhat a little more limited with his mobility, and if their offensive line struggles, that's how they're going to have to win. Remember when Brady lost when the Giants beat him, when that was the 18-0 New York team, they got pressure up the middle, and that great Randy Moss, Tom Brady team, the Giants' defense, their defensive line, won the game. I think that they'll have to copy what they did last week against Green Bay, get 4 or 5 sacks on Mahomes, get a turnover, a tip ball, or blindside hit on Mahomes to lead to a turnover. Because if you don't get any pressure, you have no chance. And
I know.
It's just they're just a really tough team to beat. And we talk about Andy Reid, Anthony. He's such a good coach. I mean, he's brilliant. He calls great plays. He puts his team in position to always succeed, and it's really hard to stop this team, you know, 3 straight plays where they don't gain 10 yards.
I know, it's amazing. Well, when you have first of all, you have the best tight end, right? We talk about the speed that Hill has. You know, it was always Andy's theory. I remember talking to him about spacing, and the triangle theory, and that offense was unstoppable when Terrell Owens was healthy back in 04, if you remember.
Oh, it was incredible.
Because Donovan could use his legs. Now, he wasn't Mahomes, but he could use his legs, and he had a big arm. And then he had Westbrook, who was such a weapon, both out of the backfield on a wheel route and running the football. And he had Owens. He even was able to use Pinkston, who would get manned up on the outside as a deep threat. Now he's got
place.
Right, and now you got Hill,
Hardman.
You got Kelce, you got Hardman, you got Edwards-Helaire, who I like a lot.
Yeah,
so,
it's an embarrassment of riches.
I know.
Yeah, no, listen, it's amazing. When you have, it's interesting. They have not only the best players, but in my opinion, again, they have the best play caller for these players.
Yeah,
and,
he is.
And they've never
he really
been
is.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
In his career, Patrick Mahomes has not had one bad game. He's not had one game where you said, oh, Mahomes, you know, like last week I said, Brady, I thought he really played poorly even though they won the game. Three interceptions, should have had a fourth, but, you know, they won the game in spite of that. We saw Rodgers had struggled. I've never seen Mahomes struggle in a game. It's just, it's crazy. He throws every ball perfect. This is just a juggernaut of a team. Now, again, as you said, the offensive line, will the offensive line be able to protect him? If the answer is yes, I have no doubt Kansas City is going to win. If the answer is no, I think it'll be a close game.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's a great point. Quickly, Brad, before we got to get out of here, anything you like, any hoop stuff that you like
tonight,
tomorrow?
Give you a couple
tomorrow?
NBA props which have some value to them on Parks tonight that I did play that I think have some value. Mason Plumlee. I did one last night, which won also over 7.5 rebounds. 13-5 this year, Anthony. That prop is. He's averaging closer to 9. The over-under 7.5. You know, 13-5, I'll take my chances. I like the over there. Damian Lillard, 5.5 rebounds. He's 13-5 to the under this year. He's averaging close to 4.5 rebounds, and he's gone under that about 70% of his games over his last 50 on top of it. That over-under is one too high, which is the difference between a winning bet and a losing bet. And John Wall, 20.5 points. He's been going under that, Anthony, and they got Christian Wood back, who's averaging about 22 a game. So I do like John Wall under 20.5 with Oladipo and with Wood both back. Just, you know, he'd been scoring a couple games when those guys were out. I like that. And in college, Rutgers has, you know, I think been a really, really under the radar nice team this year. I think they've been better than Michigan State. I made that line closer to 4.5. It's only 2.5. I like Rutgers over Michigan State tonight.
You got it, buddy. Great stuff, Brad. As always, you're the best, man. We love you.
Correction, you're the best. Thank you, guys. I always love talking to Anthony. Good luck.
Thanks, buddy.
Out there,
we'll talk to you next week for the bowl. There he is, Brad Feinberg, on the Comcast Business Hotline. Everybody, listen, that'll do it from Cuz's Corner. Have a great night. Be careful. We got Fly Guys coming up next. Enjoy it. Go Flyers, and we'll see you in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.